summer on the weekend. But
I heard you say 90.
Yeah. What I have in front of me is 93 sunshine on Sunday. But here's the good news. Humidity is less than 50%. 93 on Monday, 53% humidity. So we get a couple days there and then some scattered thunderstorms. 90 on Tuesday, 89 on Wednesday of next week. So we're going to get a little taste of summer here before the taste of Bloomington.
There you go.
And we know on the taste of Bloomington, it always rains, at least for a couple minutes during that day.
Yes, at least.
At least. And that's coming up a week from Saturday. We'll talk more as that gets closer and closer to it. Tim joins us every Tuesday morning to get us caught up on what's happening in city government. We usually take a look back at the week prior's meeting, and he gives us a look ahead to tomorrow night's get-together.
Committee of the Whole tomorrow.
Committee of the Whole, Tim, and you've got a whole, almost a whole page story in the paper today. Look at you guys.
Well, that's true on page 2.
That's right.
Yeah.
Page 2, I'm not good at math. We've had a bad math morning. We've been trying to figure out this I-69 timeline and where the money's gone. And
well,
where
that's the big news, isn't it, right?
Where
there?
The time. It looks like you have a third of a page. About a third of a page. That's good. Keith, tell your joke. Keith told a great joke off the air, and it's so good, I want him to tell it again. Go ahead, Keith.
Well, part of the deal is that at the committee meeting tomorrow, they're going to talk about the appropriations, which is any department in the city that didn't use all of their money this year.
Yes.
Will return.
But you heard
the
there's
money.
Going to be a big. You heard there's going to be a donation.
Yeah, they could use that money to complete I-69.
Well, there you go, Tim. That's very noble.
That's really
of you
nice
folks.
Of the city
that's,
to do that.
That's really good. You got to sign a proclamation to go with that. How does that work?
We'll pay for the passing lane or something like that.
No, Tim. I think it's like 20 feet of. We're talking billions of dollars to do this.
Is that much?
I don't think that much. We heard this morning.
Well, not all. That's. I mean, that's what it's been. Overall,
we need 237. We got 72. So if we could have a bake sale or a car wash to come up with the other 164 whatever million dollars,
they could sell cupcakes at the farmer's market.
Oh, they could do something, but that's not Tim's purview, thankfully.
No, that's true.
But do talk about the because this the interesting part about this in the past, obviously at the end of the fiscal year, you turn in the money that you didn't spend that you were budgeted in the budget, and it went back into the general fund. But this year, the mayor is talking about you benefit from the money you saved. And that's a new approach, isn't it, Tim?
That's true. And what Mayor Hamilton has suggested to his department heads, and which they apparently have acted on with great relish, is that any savings they had from their projected budget for the year, any of those funds that were left over, they would receive 50% would come back to their department. The other 50% would go back to the general fund. So this has given department heads the opportunity to look at appropriations or spending that money in ways that they feel will better their department and their efficiency. So
Given the street department not having a lot of snow and ice to deal with this winter, they should have really championed in that.
Well, yes, and I'm not sure how, we actually look at that, because that's kind of I'm not finding the words for it, but it's kind of a blessing, that they receive, because the weather cooperated with them as opposed to not cooperating with them. So, which actually, typically what happens in street department, public works, is that money will extend the amount of paving we can do.
Okay.
So, that's kind of an existing tradition in a way.
So it's already accounted for.
That's right. But what Mayor Hamilton has proposed is that those departments receive 50% of that savings that comes back to them. So, we're looking at opportunities for training, for vehicle replacement. That's a big one, vehicle replacement. All sorts of things that make their departments more efficient and more responsible to the public. So,
how is it, Tim, this has never been proposed before to benefit from your own savings?
Well, I don't know. It's an idea that the mayor has brought forward, so previous mayors haven't done that, and I don't know how to answer that.
Does the council have to vote on this for it to actually happen?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there's an appropriation ordinance that we will vote on, and it's basically taking money from appropriations from the general fund for parks, general fund, motor vehicle, highway fund, parking funds, parking meter fund, vehicle replacement fund. All those funds will, you know, will be restocked with that 50% to allow those departments to go forward and you know, exercise their plans.
How do you read your fellow members of the City Council on their attitude toward doing this?
You know, we had a meeting. I think there were four or five of us there, and I think all are receptive to it at this point. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. So I think it'll be widely received by the council.
And moving forward, Tim, we've heard, obviously, in the last week and a half or so, that with the issues going on downtown about the lack of resources perhaps for that and some of the solutions being presented, where does that money, if that comes to that, is this something they could tap in for that moving forward, or is this based on the stuff that's already there?
Well,
that's some very technical terminology in there. I hope you.
Well, there's two avenues. Some of what the appropriation ordinance will do will possibly fund some of that. So you will see some money in police, fire, those sorts of things, dispatch. You know, those sorts of things will be affected by it. So, you know, that just adds to what we will be adding to it in the 2018 budget when we go through that process. So yes, I think what we're doing tomorrow night, which is a committee of the whole meeting, is just to discuss it before we meet the following week. But in that meeting tomorrow night, we will explore those possibilities for funding things that are council priorities as well, to see whether they match with department heads.
But as you mentioned, though, there's no legal mambo jambo that requires any of this to be done, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Is correct.
So it's kind of a free form discussion, and then you'll figure out where to put all the pieces together.
That's correct. Well, I mean, basically, this is coming forward from the controller's office, which has been in contact with all the department heads as to their desires for expenditures of those monies. So it comes forward to us being council, as a resolution or as an appropriation ordinance, but it comes forward in the form of a whereas document. So whereas, mm-hmm. you know, the police department would like to do this, whereas the parks department would like to do that. That's the nature of the discussion will be built around that document that's presented tomorrow night.
Tim.
From our controller, Jeff Underwood.
Tim, one of the other issues that's mentioned in the paper today is you're going to be asked about a tax abatement in order to get some new apartments in Bloomington. Explain that process and how you think your colleagues on the City Council feel about tax abatement.
Well, to answer the last question first, I don't know how council members will respond to it, but I do know that we will be discussing a project up on North Kinzer Pike, so that's in the north. West part of our community. This is a proposal from it's a group called Naples LLC Petitioner. It's part of, I believe, First Capital. They are proposing a 39-unit development on Kinzer Pike around Gourley Pike, and they have negotiated with the city to set aside 6 apartments out of 39 for workforce housing. And as it's pointed out in today's HT, there really is not a definition for workforce housing.
Well, you read my mind. That was good. That was going to be my next question for you.
Well, it's something that, you know, Mayor Hamilton and council members have been discussing for a long time, and that is affordable housing. So the term workforce housing is, you know, congruent with affordable housing.
But yet ambiguous at the same time.
Ambiguous, that's correct.
Tim, one of the things that comes to my mind, because I was a beneficiary of an abatement situation when I lived in the condos at the Princess Theater, and basically the way some of this is presented is I can build this complex and do all these good things, but I need a tax abatement to do it. And the other argument is, well, you know, if you don't get the abatement, are you not going to build it anyhow? So, you know, as a city council person, you got to always be balancing those two things.
That is correct. And you know, part of what this negotiation was is, you know, our code basically would require that the building that is proposed for Vernal Pike would have had some portion of the ground floor as a retail operation or as business operation as opposed to residential. So the negotiations between the city and the developers involved letting go of that requirement so that all 39 units would be residential. So they took off the table the requirement for commercial space on the ground floor. So that was one concession that the city made in terms of going forward for the developer so that they could then go forward with the workforce development, housing component of it, negotiating again with the developers so that, you know, they took off the table a commercial requirement for the developer. Mm-hmm. Now they're asking for basically six out of the 39 units to be workforce housing, which comes in at a lower rental rate. It's in a way, it's a subsidized rate. It's a subsidized rate that the developer subsidizes, basically. So
now, the legality behind that is basically just what the commission comes up with, right? There is no, you don't have to require any percentage of anything to be anything. How's that for Peg?
Yeah, I think if you go back to the zoning ordinance and the requirements therein, the developer comes forward, wants to build a building with X amount of residential units, and they are required to put in commercial space as well.
Okay.
So once they say we don't, and that would be referred to as build by right. So if the developer came forward and said the zone is here, we can build this many units under the zoning code, and we have to put in so much commercial space under zoning code, we're willing to do that. It's basically a build by right, so they could pull their building permits, build the building, and be on their way. But they chose to negotiate with the city to eliminate the commercial space and to look at workforce housing.
So it's, I don't want to say a trade-off, but that's one way to get their attention?
Yeah, I think the way I would typify it is it's a negotiated agreement.
Okay.
Tim, school me.
Because people hear this and they say, well, why does one have to be one way? Why does one have to be another if it's... or law or whatever, but the negotiation makes perfect sense, and thank you for clearing that up.
Tim, school me on one part of this, because I have a simplistic approach to this. Tax abatement means, okay, for a few years you're not paying any taxes, then they gradually bring it in, and by the end of 10 years you're paying the full tilt. And it seems, in my primitive way of looking at it, eventually you're going to have full tilt on all the taxes. So if it's a difference between building it or not building it, it seems to be the enticement to get to a point where we'll have this property on the tax rolls eventually. Is that too simplistic a view?
No, it's not too simplistic at all. And actually, to go back to the negotiation, this is a seven-year tax abatement. So tax abatements aren't always 6 to 10. They can be a number that is agreed upon between the negotiating parties, again, you know, the mayor's administration and the developers. So, you've pretty well typified it that, you know, basically what happens with a tax abatement is for a period of time, in this case 7 years, you start off with year one, which is a very low, if zero tax to be paid, and then in year two, it increases incrementally up until year seven when the abatement is fulfilled. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, talking about tax abatements, we will be hearing in the upcoming, I believe we'll be hearing in the next council meeting next week, we will be hearing a report on all those outstanding tax abatements that we currently have, and they're very few. We've done very few of them in the last few years. So,
and why is that, Tim? Do you not need them? Do people not want them? Who comes up with the abatement? Is that something the developer comes to you with and says, hey, look, here's how we need to get this done?
Yeah, that's typically how it happens. And I think the nature of the development that's been going on in the community hasn't really risen to the level where people feel the need for them. So I mean, we've got a very healthy development community going on. You know,
no kidding.
Anybody
drive around
who left town 5 years ago and comes back today, and they look around and go, "What happened here?" You
know? Well, it's a tool to encourage development, the way I see it.
It is a tool to encourage development.
If you need it somewhere,
or to encourage employment. So
that's another good issue: employment.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Tim Mayer's our guest this morning.
You know, under Mayor Hamilton, I think we'll probably start to see more tax abatement activity coming forward as you know, projects start to come on the horizon. So,
well, that makes an interesting point, because if it is such a booming industry, or it's a happening deal, it sounds like people should be lining up to try and get in here. Why should they need to be enticed?
Well, I think that part of the reason that we're not, this is my own opinion, but I mean, part of the reason we haven't seen a lot of it coming forward is, first of all, when the economy collapsed, and that took development, slowed it down a little bit. But the other part of it is that we are in a community that is growing, and we're in a part of the state where that is pretty unusual, or it's pretty unusual within the state itself. So we're kind of an anomaly, and I think people are, development types are looking at that and not seeing the need for that tax abatement just because it's there. The other part of it is that some tax abatements no longer require council action. I think state law changed that, where developers can basically work with county government to achieve that goal. So I'm pretty sure there's that option available for some of the development that goes on. So
interesting. All right. Well, yeah. that does make sense to a degree, no doubt about it. Showtime.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and it's just it's kind of a feel out how it goes. When was the last time Bloomington had a boom in building?
Well, I think you'd have to go back.
We're still in it, right?
Well, we are in it. I think the only thing that slowed it down a little bit was when the economy went down.
Yeah, 08 or 09, somewhere in there, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because once you built Smallwood, that's about as large a boom as you can make.
Right, but I mean, you look at it, it's incremental that it keeps growing. And, you know, if you haven't been to a certain part of town for a while and you drive over that way or go over that way, and you'll notice there's a building there that wasn't there before. So
you can just go from.
I think Patterson Point might be a case in to look at. You know, where the front property sat fallow for so long, and then all of a sudden, it's now coming out of the ground. So that's
From Second Street to downtown, and
that's right
on Walnut, and
there's a lot of activity.
Hillside and Henderson is. You can just go through them, and I'm just cherry picking here.
Well, and even the IU stuff.
Yeah,
well, IU doesn't count because IU always goes. They don't have a choice.
Past Hillside and Henderson, appears that they're going to wait on the what would be the south end of that project. Looks like they'll be waiting on that for not this rental season, but the next rental season, because they're not coming out of the ground yet.
Right. The street front is up and barking, so
that's
to speak.
That's correct.
Hey, great stuff as always. Showtime tomorrow night?
Showtime is 6:30. It is a committee of the whole, which means that we'll get right down to work. The public is invited, and the public can discuss the legislation that we will be discussing, which, again, will be the appropriation ordinance, and then the issue about tax abatement for the Gourley-Vernal Pike, Kinzer Pike project.
Good seats are still available. Check StubHub if you need an upgrade for your tickets.
So if you can find some cool weather for us on the weekend, that would be very helpful.
Okay, I'm going to try, but remember, if it's warm, it's not going to be humid. At least that's what it's telling me now. So
that's good.
Yesterday didn't have a lot of humidity. That sun was warm, but it wasn't. You get out of your car and all of a sudden it feels like you jumped in the pool. That's
true.
We'll save that for July.
Yeah,
in August,
exactly.
And part of September. Great job as always, Tim. We appreciate your
Take
time,
care.
And we'll talk
Thank
to you next
you.
Week. Tim Mayer, city councilman, checks in with us, the parliamentarian, every Tuesday morning just after 8:05. It's really good stuff. And we have fun. We joke around.
Right.
But, yes, thank you, Tim.
But you know, it's a lesson in government, too. It's not just what's going on.
On how stuff works.
Right.
And it might not just be the city council. Mm-hmm. It's how planning and mm-hmm. that zoning and all comes together, because you can't really do one without the other. And some people will say more government is bad government. Well, you got to have some, because there has to be a set of rules.
Well, it's one thing to report that something's going to happen. It's another thing to discuss how does that come about
and yeah. why it's happening.
And that's where Tim comes into play.
Yes, and no doubt about it. And it's great stuff. And we'll talk to Marty Hawk tomorrow, so mm-hmm. we get that side from the county as well. And hopefully you, not Keith, you, enjoy it and learn something, because we try to as well.